searchlights pierce a starry night sky, sweeping the clouds and illuminating a towering edifice in the form of the words, 20th Century Fox. 20th Century Fox, a News Corporation company. White light reflects off shadowy metallic shapes. The sharp shapes resolve into a series of W's overlaid on each other with a red band of light around their base. WWE Studios. A digital heads-up display shows a nighttime city. Fox Atomic presents.
Give me audio on that, please.
In association with WWE Studios.
Right turn on audio.
A Mark Gordon Company production, a Rennie Harlin film.
All right, now pan right.
Yes, that's affirmative.
New Orleans, Louisiana, May 16th, 2046 hours. An illuminated sign reads Bourbon Street Blues Company. John Cena.
Agent 486, squawking ident. Need your position.
12 rounds.
All right, let's get a sweep moving southeast.
Aidan Gillen.
Strike on contact, 800.
Ashley Scott. An agent walks through a crowd. Steve Harris. A camera focuses on a suspect.
No good. It's no good. Come back around and exchange.
Brian White. Gonzalo Menendez.
I'm moving on to Burgundy Street now. Got some dropouts on the feed there.
A computer screen has the images from several camera feeds. Taylor Cole, casting by John Papsadera, CSA.
I see the target.
Costume designer Julie Newell.
Facial lock.
I've got him.
Music by Trevor Rabin.
No good, faces turned.
Edited by Brian Bird and ACE.
Gator's got eyes on him.
Production designer Nicholas Lundy.
Gator, he's 120 yards ahead to the left.
Cinematographer David Boyd, ASC.
I'm right behind him. Looks real close.
Executive producer Becky Cross Trujillo.
He's coming up on your left. Suspect in red continuing on Conti Street.
Produced by Mark Gordon and Josh McLaughlin.
Full face. Give me a sec.
Produced by Michael Lake.
Beginning scan.
Computer program analyzes the target's facial features.
Negative, it's not a match.
Written by Daniel Kunker.
Okay, Bulldog, take the northwest quad.
Gator, hold firm, cover that east bank.
Samuel's in position. We are just waiting on Miles, sir.
Need a whole new sweep of the area starting in quad one. Let's get all bank A cameras online.
Directed by Rennie Harlin.
Danny, you're not feeding the dog, are you?
No, I'm looking for my badge. They give you two things when you're a cop, a gun and a badge. I have one.
Big Danny picks up his gun.
Can't find my badge.
It's on the thingy.
The thing. I was just over by the thing. It's not there. Shorty, remember our plan. You're going to stay strong. I'm going to give you food, all right? Just don't tell Mom I gave you that, all right?
Daniel Fisher.
She raises her eyebrows.
Trying to build the world's most dominant pug. He's going through a bulking phase. Look at him.
Daddy's bad. Come here, I'll show you the thingy.
She picks up the dog and grins.
Buy the thing. I'll just buy the thing, son.
The badge is on a metal clothes stand.
The thingy.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know you meant that thing.
Of course not.
It's here. You know, I still got like 10 minutes.
Yeah? It only takes you two, honey. Come on.
I think it's a strong two.
He follows blonde Molly past piles of removals boxes. She reaches the front door, turns, and smiles.
Good work. Be safe, okay?
Love you, Shorty.
Hey, Hank.
Hey, Molly.
Molly holds the dog as he walks to his patrol car.
Oh, shit, I am definitely not smarter than a fifth grader.
Danny gets into the car next to Hank, who's playing with a Rubik's Cube.
Hey, man, what's going on?
So you gotta get permission from the old lady and the dog now to come to work? You know?
Just the dog.
Hey, homework. FBI is tracking Sky through the corridor. They need some handholding.
A mugshot with the name Miles Jackson appears on the car's computer. Jackson's outside a hotel in town.
Coming out of the hotel.
Target matches 4 out of 5 points.
Gator's on Royal, 200 block. All available.
Agents, scramble. We need a clear lock. Get audio in place.
He's moving towards Bourbon. I'm 50 yards back.
Come on, people.
I can't afford to lose this guy again.
I'm in position. Target heading towards me. Clear shot.
An agent gets a clear photo of Jackson on his video camera. The image is beamed to control.
Hold position.
Sir, the locals need...
Shut up. Show me that Irish bastard.
The computer compares the agent's shot with Jackson's photo on the file as the agent in charge fiddles with a toy car he's holding. Illuminated signs shine brightly in the French Quarter.
Confirm, all teams, we have a positive ID on Miles Jackson.
You want to see the face of the devil?
There it is. Brought down transatlantic flight 212. Bombed the American embassy in Frankfurt.
The man decapitated his own brother for blowing a deal in Tangiers. It's game day, people. Let's go.
Got him.
Agents train their lenses on the target.
He's got his cell phone out now.
Sir, he's making the call.
A young guy waiting by a car is also under surveillance.
Hey, open up Samuel's feed.
It's an incoming call, sir. Still encrypted.
15 minutes.
The abandoned wharf on permission way. Miles is bringing the weapons and we're making the exchange.
The guy by the car is working with the FBI.
I got 310 cameras, including the harbor crane. I need team one to get me set up inside.
Samuel, remember our deal. You ever want to see your brother again?
You do as I say when I say it.
We get Miles, we get the weapons, you and Joshua get your freedom.
Clear?
Cloud.
Now we dance.
Jackson pauses next to two men playing chess in a cafe.
Hang on, he stopped.
Let's see. He takes your bishop, knight to c4, pawn to a7, rook to block. He takes your queen. It's all over but the client. Try, pawn to a6. It's better.
The chess players look puzzled.
He's heading east.
Jackson walks onto the crowded street.
He's hailing a cab. Home unit 6 has video on him, 100 yards back.
Send NOPD the new picks on Miles. Have him establish a 10-block perimeter around the wharf. Sir, should you call the director?
No.
This is the first time that Miles has been out in the open in 2 years. The director has no idea you're about to cut a deal.
There is no deal. We use Samuel and Joshua to get to Miles. We bring them all down. Nobody's going anywhere, Ray. This time, he's not getting away from me.
The headquarters vehicles speed through the city.
Just give me the scoop. So you pop the question or what? Hey, I'm just saying. You know, you move in with the Lady of the Ring, usually comes next.
Bro, it's been 2 weeks.
And?
Yeah, you've lived with, like, 14 different girls.
Well, yes, I did, but I'm sexier than you. I mean, a freakishly large man such as yourself is gonna keep a fine woman like Molly. You're gonna have to put her in cuffs.
Square-jawed Danny gives a resigned grin. The city lights shine in the darkness. Miles' taxi pulls up at an out-of-town warehouse. Cameras are watching, mounted on the building and on a crane nearby.
ETA 2 minutes. Cameras are up inside the wall.
In the building, a group of rough-looking armed men stand waiting. One's holding a metal briefcase. Miles' taxi pulls up in a cloud of dust and he gets out. His reception committee awaits, and his every move is on camera. The waiting men stare grimly as Miles walks towards them. He walks jauntily, not obviously armed and full of confidence. The HQ van stops on a street.
Punctual, sir. I like that.
Got audio now. Reading 5x5.
Okay, we're in first position.
All teams, on my mark. We get Miles to lead us to the location of the guns.
We proceed with extract.
Miles reaches the gang.
Okay, so this Edis rodeo is gonna work.
You give me the briefcase. I give you
PDA with the coordinates to the weapons. It's all very simple.
No.
I can't do this.
Don't you do this, you son of a bitch.
You can't.
Do what?
Samuel pulls out his earpiece.
I set you up. The FBI knows you're here. They're watching us right now. They
know you're here.
And now I'm never gonna see my brother again.
Samuel shoots Miles at point-blank range as the agents watch in disbelief. Samuel walks up to a camera.
Half an hour, Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. You bring me my brother, I'll bring you Miles. That is, of course, if he makes it that long.
He shoots out the camera, and as the gang prepare to move, they shoot out all the other cameras as well.
Holy shit.
Hey, let's move. Give me an outside beat. Give me the outside beat.
Got it.
The HQ vehicles move off as the gang members drag Miles away. Samuel looks around nervously. Then they dump Miles in the back of a van. Samuel gets in the back with him and takes the briefcase. Then the car and two vans move off in convoy. An agent jams a button on a console and a camera picks up the convoy as it moves out.
Sir, we need to stop them before they get to the bridge.
Hey, give me a 20 on Josh. Samuel's going to try to get his brother.
Make a deal.
Ray, pick up the phone.
As Agent Ray gets on the phone, Samuel talks to the van driver.
The FBI told us exactly where they were positioned. Go around.
Okay.
You all right?
Miles gets up easily from the floor of the van.
It's gonna bruise like a bitch.
He sits next to Samuel and picks rounds out of the bulletproof belt around his waist.
Lucky I didn't aim any lower.
Man, it's just like those pansy ass feds. I mean, they call us, we jump right away. We call them, city's under 7 feet of water. Hey, 5 days, take it easy. Those guys skin my ass, Danny, they really do.
Look at this guy. Arms trafficking, espionage, murder. Hell, he even sold 2 dirty bombs in Paris last year. Interpol says he's got 2 more on the market.
Like the city needs more to deal with? I mean, really, why can't they take that crap someplace else? Kansas? Iowa?
Helsinki?
All units wearing black, FBI request assistance. Sending target information. 8 male suspects, 3 vehicles heading to Lake Pontchartrain Causeway.
Sounds like the feds dropped the ball again.
Surprised?
Lights flashing, Danny and Hank speed off. Across the illuminated grid of the nighttime city, the HQ vans speed to intercept their targets.
Someone broke into the safe house. They took Joshua and killed our agents.
He did it again.
How do you want to proceed with the convoy?
Well, take him!
Take him.
In the back of the van, Samuel passes the briefcase to Miles.
I threw in an extra 5% for treating my brother and I so well. Was it any trouble getting him out?
For me? Nah. For the 2 guards I had to kill? Maybe.
And he's waiting at the airfield?
Yeah, he's there right now. Why don't you give him a call? You know what the funny thing is, Sam? If I hadn't found out the FBI was holding your brother as a bargaining chip to catch me, you'd have gone along with this whole double cross without so much as a consideration. And I'd be out of my hard-earned cash. The FBI would probably have me in custody. And you and your douchebag brother would be holding hands somewhere in the south of France.
Miles takes the phone from his pocket and grins at the shocked Sam.
Yeah? Hello? I'm sorry, Joshua can't come to the phone right now, but thanks for the ride.
He stabs Samuel in the stomach, lowering the body to the floor, a large bloody knife held in his right hand. He then turns his attention to the driver. The police cruiser joins the traffic crossing a darkened suspension bridge. A woman's high heel taps impatiently. The owner stands by her car, with Miles' van parked nearby.
Oldest trick in the book, Sam. Turn their heads with one hand, quietly slip out the back with the other.
The police and FBI convoy drives off the bridge. Miles jumps out of the back of the van holding the money case.
Later.
As he closes the door on the corpses, the long-haired, slim beauty waiting for him grins mischievously.
Right on time, baby.
Aren't I always?
She smiles, and they kiss. She caresses his arm and touches the hand which is holding the money.
Show me.
The case is full of diamonds. The girl's eyes widen and she reaches out to touch the fortune.
I can finally afford that pony that you've always wanted.
I'll drive.
Woo! Excitedly, they climb into her BMW and head off.
FBI update. Suspects in custody, but Miles Jackson is still at large. Looking for gray van, Louisiana plates, Alpha Golf, November 803. Standby.
Unit 14 en route for the lower 9.
They screech to a halt at a red light, narrowly missing a truck.
My bad. I didn't even see that guy.
Danny glances out of his window straight at Miles' girlfriend, who quickly averts her gaze. The cruiser and the BMW drive off in different directions. Danny watches video footage of Miles enjoying a lap dance.
Turn around.
Turn. What are you talking about?
Danny, we're black. We gotta get over there.
We gotta stop that car. That's the girl. The girl in the car.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
Hank swings the car around and accelerates.
Headquarters to 521.
They catch up with the BMW down a quiet residential street.
Pull over, please.
The BMW indicates and pulls over, the driver looking anxiously in her mirror.
Come on, Danny, you heard dispatch. We're looking for an Irish dude in a gray van. You think this is a good idea?
Just ask her the questions.
Such a waste of time.
Danny and Hank approach the BMW. Hank goes to talk to the driver as Danny studies the car.
License and registration, ma'am.
Evening, officer. What seems to be the problem?
Evening. License and registration, please.
Yeah, of course. Hope I'm not in any sort of trouble. How does everything look?
Huh? Outstanding.
But tell me, what's a pretty lady like you doing driving all by herself through a neighborhood like this?
Sometimes I like to be alone. Sometimes I don't.
Hank's neat mustache curls into a grin.
Give me a second.
Yeah, no problem.
Danny indicates for Hank to carry on.
Here, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Listen. Here's my card. You know, for those times when you don't.
Ask her to open the trunk.
I'm working my shit over here. What are you doing?
Ask her.
I'm gonna need you to pop your trunk.
Gun!
Shit. Hank dives for cover as Miles blazes away from inside the trunk. Rounds hit the cruiser in showers of sparks as Hank lands in a heap of rubbish. The BMW speeds off. Danny's shots spark off the BMW's bodywork as Miles bursts into the passenger compartment from the trunk.
This just got interesting.
I got this.
10-13, officer down. You all right, man?
Oh, he shot me in my ass.
In your ass? Keep pressure on it. 3 minutes to EMS.
Oh, no, Danny, I know that. Look, you wait for backup. Don't be a cowboy. Danny!
Danny sprints off between the houses to intercept the car.
There's one on foot.
Left or right?
I don't know, baby.
You watch that side, I'll watch this side.
Got it.
Suit on foot. Parallel to Duquesne. Suspects in a gold BMW.
Here he is.
As the car skids into a turn, Danny pauses to reload.
Where do I go, Miles? What do I do?
Left on St. Claude, right on Montmartre. We cross the bridge, we get on the jet, we never see the New Orleans Police Department again, I promise.
Big and athletic, Danny keeps on running. He snatches an item of clothing from a washing line to drape across a roll of barbed wire across the top of a fence. He vaults over it easily, rolling as he hits the ground.
Police business.
Danny takes a shortcut through a house, much to the surprise of the occupants. He dashes out onto the street just as the BMW flies past.
Okay, keep going.
Danny pulls aside a chain link fence and rushes through a yard full of junk and old cars.
This guy's really starting to annoy me.
Junkyard dog pursues the big cop. The BMW is caught in slow traffic. Danny clambers over a high fence and drops his gun.
Damn!
He tries to persuade the dog to give up its new toy as the BMW swerves through the slower cars. Jaw set, Danny continues his run.
Officer Fisher, still on foot pursuit. Subjects head towards the marina.
He checks the car's direction and sets off again, face now shining with sweat.
It's like 2 blocks to the bridge. Home free.
Danny emerges in front of the car, looks around and spots a motor launch on a trailer nearby. He runs to the trailer and detaches it from the truck it's hooked up to. Straining with the weight, he pushes the boat and trailer towards the road, letting it roll free as the car approaches. The car slams into the trailer, slicing through the boat, flying through the air and rolling when it lands. Danny sprints up and retrieves Miles' dropped automatic.
Freeze! Hands in the air now!
Miles!
Now!
Run!
Erica runs right into the path of a passing truck.
Stay in the vehicle! Stay in the vehicle! Hands up! Now!
Erica's dead. Miles turns to Danny.
Who are you?
On the ground!
What's your name?
He spots Danny's name badge.
Officer Fisher.
They both look across at Erica's blood-stained body.
I remember you.
Danny looks him in the eye as backup arrives.
On the ground.
Miles angrily places his hands behind his head and kneels down. Covering Miles with the gun, Danny glances remorsefully at Erica's body. Miles stares up at the hovering police chopper, which has him in its spotlight.
I'm trying to figure out what's worse, man. You're shooting at this table or you're shooting at the range?
Oh, he's got chokes, huh? I'll take those, Jesse. Hey, Mama, this might be a little strange, but Danny here wants to know if I think I'm sexy.
Really?
Oh, yeah, inquiry. That's got to know.
Don't worry about him, darling. You're safe. We had him neutered.
See, safety first.
Get an animal change, man.
Hey, a toast.
Right on.
To my partner. 1 year ago tomorrow, we made detective. Yeah, and all because of my outstanding police work, huh? Okay, all right. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that you captured an international arms dealer. Hey, but seriously, bro, I mean, from patrols in the lower ninth to this...
It'll never bother you.
What? What, the mandated pay raise, the flashy new badge? Benefits of being a minor celebrity? Hell no.
You just never think about what would happen if you just stayed put and called for backup that night like you were supposed to.
Aside from the fact that I wouldn't have a bullet hole in my ass cheek?
Yeah, besides that.
Yeah, no, Danny, not at all. You know what, neither should you.
Just saying. The girl dies that night and we get promoted.
He aims for the black, but pops the white.
Get a cup.
That's it?
I got to.
Oh, come on, it's fella's night out. One more.
One more? We've had like six one more. I gotta go home. Why? Because that beautiful woman, that annoying dog, no, they're waiting for me.
All right, I can't argue with that.
All right, man. Good luck.
Oh, come on, son. I don't need luck. This ain't about luck.
Hank approaches some women at the bar. A clock shows 4:58. Danny wakes up, blinking sleepily. He slaps off the alarm and swings his legs off the bed. He sighs wearily and walks out of the bedroom. The hall is covered in water, and Molly's in the bathroom with a wrench.
You gotta be kidding me.
This is not a big deal, okay?
2 inches of water on the floor. Look at Shorty.
I don't know, Phil's gonna be here in a few minutes.
That's all I need. Put another one of that guy's kids through college.
This is not a big deal. This is our home.
Yeah, and apparently our home is made
stop,
of durable paper mache.
Look, I had to go to the hospital. I'm doing another night shift. I'm putting you and Shorty in charge.
Fantastic.
She pats his backside as she walks past. Holding the dog and the wrench, he stares at the dripping pipe. Danny opens the door to the bearded plumber.
I'll start sleeping in the guest room.
There's leftover pork chops. Make sure you feed Phil when he's done saving our house.
Love you guys. Dude, didn't I tell you 2 months ago that you had to replace the stop valve?
What stop valve?
Look, I told you it had a crack. Said you'd take care of it yourself, save a little cash.
Danny looks guilty and glances at Molly.
Spent all afternoon underneath that sink.
I was going to get to it.
When, 2 months ago?
That's when I just bought the new car. I was trying to save some cash.
I can't handle this. I might be late.
Molly.
Danny, what? Look, I need a little help here, okay? I mean, first it was the gas bill and the air conditioning and now the sink. I mean, I love you. I need to know that I can trust you with these things. That's all, okay?
Sorry.
There you go.
Looking disappointed, she turns to leave.
Molly, wait.
Look, I'll see you in the morning, okay?
She puts a hand on his chest, stopping him from getting too close, gives a tight smile, and leaves.
Dude, sorry, I didn't mean to make a ruckus, but a plumber's got a plumb. You want a little advice? It's the ones that go underneath the sink. Those are the ones that you don't want to have walk away.
Danny closes his eyes in self-reproach, then looks at a photo of he and Molly smiling happily.
Yeah.
Is this Officer Fisher for the New Orleans Police Department?
Detective Fisher. Who's calling?
This is Miles Jackson. How you been?
Why the hell are you calling me?
Say hello. Chat about the weather, see if you fancy a quick bite.
Yeah, prison food tastes like shit.
Yes, it does. One of the many reasons that I left.
I put you there, Miles. I'm pretty sure I'd know if you were out by now.
Really, Danny? Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but I think you might have been left out of the loop on this one.
Okay, so where are you?
Close enough to smell Molly in the shower while you were taking your little nap. It's a real shame about the plumbing, because I was really starting to enjoy the show.
Danny grabs his gun and looks anxiously around the house.
Danny, where are you going?
He looks out of the house and through the neat white fence surrounding their tiny front yard. Phil's truck is parked on the street.
I don't know where you are or what you're doing. You come anywhere near me and Molly, I swear to God.
Danny, please, shut up. You killed the love of my life.
That was an accident, Miles.
A truck across the street explodes in a huge ball of flame. Danny holds up his arms to shield himself from the heat of the blaze.
Oh, and poor Phil. He was really looking forward to those pork chops.
Phil! Phil, get out of the house!
The force of the explosion blows Danny back and he slams into Phil's truck. The house is engulfed in a vast fireball. Miles is standing by the river on the other side of the bridge near Danny and Molly's house, the remains of which collapse.
See, that was an accident. Okay, you listen very carefully to me, Danny. It's our anniversary. 1 year ago today, whether by dumb luck or uncompromising skill, you bested me. And as such, today, we are going to have our rematch. I just took round one. The last time we met, you took from me what can never, ever be replaced. And for that, I am going to take from you. Now, I just wonder, do you think Molly is going to be able to trust me?
Miles! Miles!
Molly's walking alone as Danny hurriedly hands Shorty to some neighbors.
Keep him safe.
Danny sets off at a run down the street as Molly boards a ferry across the wide river. Miles watches from the opposite bank. Miles opens up his phone and takes out the SIM card, throwing it into a skin. He then replaces the card with a new one. Molly stands at the ferry's rail, looking thoughtfully at the water.
Excuse me, can I just use your phone? I need to call my daughter.
Yeah, of course.
As Molly hands the man her phone, Danny desperately dials as he runs.
From her house.
Danny grimaces at the sound of the busy tone and runs faster. The ramp to the ferry is raised and Molly spots a column of smoke in the distance. The man is still using her phone. Danny reaches the wharf as the ferry casts off and pulls away from its moorings. He stands on the wharf and watches as the ferry moves off.
Molly!
Danny clocks the name of the ferry, the Thomas Jefferson, then runs off.
Police! Out of the car!
What?
Out of the car, come on!
Okay.
He gets into the silver Camaro and throws it in reverse. Engaging forward gear, Danny races off. He hits the brakes as he approaches a stationary traffic jam, changes direction, and drives off down a footpath.
Watch it!
Keeping an eye on the ferry, he nearly knocks over a skateboarder and a cyclist, then flies down a grassy bank.
Hey,
He bounces down onto a narrow road lined with houses. On the ferry, the man is still using Molly's phone. Then he speeds past the still-burning truck at the ruins of his house and gets onto the road which leads over the bridge. As Danny scythes through the traffic on the bridge, Hank is standing by his desk in their open-plan office.
I'll let your boy.
Hank, call DOT. Have him stall the Thomas Jefferson Ferry.
Whoa, what's going on, Danny? Slow down.
Miles Jackson, he broke out of prison. I don't know how. But if we don't stop that ferry in the next 30 seconds, I'll never see Molly again.
All right. DOT, I'm on it.
The ferry is midstream, heading towards the crowded high-rises in the center of town. Danny's still on the bridge, the speedometer approaching 90 miles an hour.
Did you get your grades?
Molly frowns, looking back at the column of smoke rising from her neighborhood. Danny slides the car around a corner, then hurls it across a busy road, causing an accident. The ferry's about to dock, and Danny takes a desperate shortcut down a railway line. Miles is waiting on the wharf. The ferry ties up, and the man hands the phone back to Molly.
Oh, thank you so much. Sorry to...
The tires spit gravel as Molly starts to make her way downstairs to disembark. Danny dives out of the car, leaps a railing and rushes to intercept Molly in the throng of passengers getting off the ferry.
Molly! Molly, pick up! Whoa, Detective Danny Fisher! Secure this area now!
Ladies and gentlemen, hold it! Stop for a minute!
Hank and reinforcements arrive, and Danny rushes out of the terminal building to meet his partner.
Hey, where's she?
She's gone. She just gets on the ferry and she's gone.
Hey, calm down. Maybe she's just on the streetcar on her way to the hospital.
No. You don't understand. He said I took from him what could never be replaced. He's gonna kill her.
Hey, Danny, that's not gonna happen, okay? We're gonna find her. We're gonna get her back.
Molly, come on. Pick up!
Molly Porter's phone.
Let me talk to her.
How do you know she's not dead already? I'm just teasing, Danny. Come on, where's your sense of humor?
Molly's in the back of Miles' car with a belt around her neck and tape across her mouth.
Here, say hello to your boyfriend.
Danny, please, we're in a silver van.
Molly, where are you?
That one was for free.
The rest you'll have to earn.
I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna hunt you down and I'm gonna kill you.
Well, you know what? I look forward to that, Danny.
It's a game. What, you like games, don't you? Mousetrap, Monopoly.
Naked Twister. This one's called 12 Rounds. Round one,
I took your house. Round two, I took Molly. The only way to keep her alive, you do exactly what I say when I
say it. If you're still standing after all 12 rounds, well then, you'll have won her back.
You gotta be kidding me. You can't expect me to believe that you're gonna keep
it. What? You'll believe what I tell you to believe, Danny.
I don't think you've got much choice. Okay. Round three.
In 15 minutes,
I will be calling a particular cell phone in the city. Why don't you return to where we first met, see if you can pick up my scent once again.
Miles tosses the phone out of the car window.
Okay, Molly said she was in a silver van, okay? So they can't be more than 6 blocks from here.
Put out an APB, see if we can get a trace on Molly's cell.
Okay.
Hank's car pulls up in the rundown neighborhood where Danny arrested Miles a year ago. There's rubbish on the streets and people sit on their stoops staring. Guns drawn, the detectives get out of the car. Hank holds up his hand to stop a young cyclist. They look around, studying the people, the faded houses and broken windows. Hank looks through a pile of rubbish, and Danny nervously points his gun at a big guy who walks slowly past, eyeballing him.
I don't see anything.
Oh no, maybe we're in the wrong place.
No. This is where we stopped the car, this is where it started.
And this is where he shot me in the ass, but I don't see anything.
How much time?
We got 10 minutes. I definitely think we're in the wrong place, Danny.
Hank points to numbers sprayed on a wall.
Oh, wait, I could be wrong. That's not from Katrina. That's today's date.
You're right. That's a code. We got degrees and we got clocks.
Yeah, those aren't real clocks, though. There's no hours. Countdown?
No. It's just, 2 degrees, 2 clocks.
Degrees, minutes, seconds.
Danny claps Hank on the shoulder as he understands.
Longitude and latitude. That's a location, that's where we're gonna find the phone. Come on.
Longitude and latitude. How the hell do you know about this stuff, Danny?
Eighth grade geography, brother. Let's go.
Okay, read them back to me. No. 29 degrees, 57 minutes, 3 seconds. Yep, got it. 317 Decatur.
317 Decatur?
Yeah.
That's my brother's firehouse.
Across town at the firehouse, the firemen are relaxing, punching a bag and playing table tennis.
Oh!
Hey, bro. Doing all-day ping-pong turning. Why don't you come on down?
You at the station?
Why are you shouting?
Get everybody out. There may be a bomb in the house. I'll be there in 2 minutes.
Danny's brother stops smiling. The men drive the trucks out of the building. Danny and Hank arrive, skidding to a halt. Danny's brother hurries towards the car.
I need the computer's patch. I need a full phone bank.
Everybody out?
Yeah. Danny, you really think this guy put a bomb in the firehouse?
This guy blew up my house. He took Molly. I have no idea what he's going to do next.
15 seconds.
All right, he said he was going to call a cell phone, a particular cell phone. Here. Everybody, cell phones out.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The men all look around puzzled as it's not one of their phones which is ringing.
You hear that? It's right there. It's right there.
Danny rushes into a phone store and picks up one that's ringing on a display stand.
Can I help you?
Hey, Jansen, give me a second.
Hello?
Look at that, Danny. Right on time. You just earned yourself extra minutes on the next task. And speaking of the devil, there's the bell for round 4.
There's a fire in the Orleans Savings and Loan.
In the memory chip of the phone you're holding are the numbers of 2 security deposit boxes located on the 10th floor. To win, simply grab those boxes by 5:55 exactly.
Or there's going to be an early knockout.
You gotta be shitting me. Not enough time. I'm just gonna come in. Yeah. I'll be right there.
Hey. Telecom is up on your phone. They just think they found the van that Miles used to take Molly. I'm gonna go back and set up a war room, all right?
In a flash, Danny thinks of Molly's smiling face. He frowns at Hank and remembers her cradling his face in her hands.
Hey, focus. Molly needs you to focus, all right?
We gotta do this. You gotta help me find her.
Hank takes off his shades and looks at Danny.
When have I ever let you down before?
Huh?
All right.
Go get this done.
They touch fists and hurry away. 2 black cars with flashing lights round a corner, and FBI agents get out.
Detective Fisher.
Yeah.
Ray Santiago, FBI. This is Inspector George Aiken. We understand that Miles Jackson's resurfaced in the area.
What'd you just say?
Miles Jackson. We heard he tried to contact.
Yeah. Guy breaks out of prison. FBI knows about it. Nobody tells me.
You understand that you're upset, Dan.
Upset?
It was none of your business.
Now, you keep on crying about what you did and didn't know, or you could tell us everything that happened this morning since you woke up. That is, if you want your girl back.
And you too, let's move out.
Danny, it's Rod.
Your best chance, Danny. Tell us what we want to know. We'll tell you what you want to know.
Danny thinks, then follows the agents to their car.
You better talk as fast as they drive.
They get into the car and follow the fire trucks. A crowd is gathered, staring up at the smoke pouring from an upper story of the savings and loan.
It was a prison break in Florida 2 weeks ago. Miles and the inmates took the guards, killed the warden, and demanded 30 cars to drive out of the prison.
And you gave them to them?
It wasn't exactly our choice, Danny. The Bureau gave them cars with kill switches and remote door locks. The inmates get 3 blocks away from the yard. National Guard comes in, puts everyone back in their cells.
Everyone except Miles.
Would you please just shut up? You're killing me with the whining. You have no idea what you're up against, do you? I mean, I know you arrested him, but you still don't know. The fact Miles Jackson has your girlfriend? That interests me very little. The fact that he's done something that he never does, the fact that he's shown himself in the city, that interests me quite a bit more.
You want to catch Miles, that's fine. I want to keep Molly alive, and I know what I got to do.
The trucks and the FBI vehicles arrive at the smoking building.
Just stay the hell out of my way.
Danny gets out of the car and heads inside.
I guess he didn't hear me about the whining.
Sir, this is exactly what Miles wants. We should stop Danny before somebody gets hurt.
Danny? What, are you best friends now?
If Danny keeps playing the game, Miles is distracted, he might make a mistake. And I'll bury him.
Danny approaches his brother through the throng of firefighters.
Hey, how much time?
6 minutes.
The brothers hurry into the smoking building. Danny pulls on a firefighter's protective suit.
Look on, 10 guys. Come on, let's go.
Smoke billows around the metal fire escape lying between two wings of the building. Danny looks up at the metal staircase as firemen hurry towards the upper floors. Police headquarters, a command center has been set up with an electronic map board. Hank's on the phone, then moves through the busy office.
Listen up, I need everybody. All right, 32 minutes ago, Molly Porter was taken from the Canal Street Ferry. All right, we need every security camera, every possible witness, every vehicle plate number.
He grabs Miles' mugshot.
This asshole calls again. I want to know where he is. I want to know what he's doing. I want to find him before he so much as thinks about touching one hair on her head. All right, this could be your girlfriend. Be your wife. Be any one of us. Right, this asshole cannot win.
He screws up the paper. Danny smashes through a window with an axe and enters the building. He runs down narrow, smoky corridors. Firefighters are working hurriedly as Danny approaches a door with the sign, Security Deposit Box Holders Only. He walks through the haze, finding a locked door.
Dave!
Yeah?
Watch yourself.
Danny kicks open the door, and they approach the metal gate to the deposit box room.
How much time?
2 minutes.
The gate gives way under Danny's massive boot. He scans the rows of deposit boxes and checks his phone.
It's 590, 591.
He finds the boxes and takes a crowbar to them. The doors pop off, and he slides out the metal storage boxes inside. On each box, a digital readout is counting down. The brothers hurry out of the room, clutching the boxes. They put them down, and Danny makes a call.
Sometimes victory's not all it's cracked up to be.
Hey, Danny. Round 5.
2 pounds of explosives packed inside one of these boxes.
You now have less than 7 minutes to cross the
23 city blocks between here and the Nickel Street Wharf. Arrive at the wharf any later, the bomb goes off. The other box
contains the clue to the next round.
Seeing your time constraints, you might want to use the fire truck for this one. Oh, yeah.
And don't forget to wear the hat and use the siren.
7 minutes? We want you to be out of the building in 7 minutes.
That's if we take the stairs.
Danny shoves the boxes into a sack.
Danny!
He runs out with Dave following.
Tennis player, repeat, no fire, just a bunch of smoke bombs.
Danny clocks a number of reels of electrical cable.
What are you doing?
Danny looks down at the street and grimaces.
You got gloves? Give them here.
Taking off his jacket, he swings the bomb sack on his back.
You get out of here, you get to Atlanta. You find Mom, and you stay with her. Make sure she's safe. I don't want this guy having another chance. Anchor this down.
Danny.
Anchor it down.
Dave ties the end of a cable to a steel spar.
Danny, you can't do this!
To the astonishment of the firefighters and crowds below, Danny throws the cable reel out of the window. The cable doesn't reach the ground, and the empty reel crashes into some scaffolding. Danny hesitates, then climbs over the parapet outside the window. Watched by Dave and the shocked crowds, he slides down the cable. The metal frame which the cable's tied to rips out of the floor and jams in the window. Danny dangles in space. He spots a scaffold platform below him. After dropping and smashing through layer after layer of the timbered platforms, he comes to rest on his back and picks himself up painfully. He climbs onto a metal ladder and jumps down onto the roof of a fire truck. Keeping tight hold of the sack, he runs to the lead truck, opens the driver's door, and climbs in.
Hey, what are you doing?
As he barges his way through the crowds and the police cruiser, The digital readouts show 4 minutes and counting. He speeds through the city traffic, narrowly missing a truck as he pulls out onto a main thoroughfare. An older man in a hat is walking along, reading a map. At police HQ, they're trying to trace Miles' cell phone.
Did you get the trace?
No, he's using an encrypted signal. We can't even pull a number to start a trace. What's that sound, Danny?
Driving a fire truck!
Are you sure that's such a good idea right now?
He slams on the brakes as the man with the map steps into the road and drops his sunglasses. He narrowly misses him, but crashes into a row of parked motorcycles, smashing them to smithereens.
Call the bomb squad! Get him to Nickel Street Wharf! I gotta go!
Hank thinks for a moment.
Stay with him.
Danny speeds across a busy junction, then hauls the wheel over to turn right down a narrower street. The countdown is now just under 3 minutes. As Danny hurtles down a sunny street, overtaking a car on the way, a party is in progress at a beach-style surf bar. Danny swerves the large truck to avoid some stationary traffic and careers down a side street, narrowly missing a delivery van. His eyes widen as he heads straight for the bar and a beach buggy with a surfboard in it. The shack bar is completely obliterated, and Danny stamps back on the accelerator. A guy carries a large box from a car to a van as the countdown reaches 2 minutes. Danny checks the boxes as a car swerves across the road and stops just ahead of him. He wrestles the truck into a right turn, avoiding the car, but slams into a parked Dodge Ram pickup, pushing it along. He creams the delivery guy's car, turning it into a ball of scrap. Smashes into another parked car, swerves to avoid another head-on collision, but then takes out three more cars in the process. He speeds along a ramp with 20 seconds to go. Down a narrow road lined with cars, the truck's speedometer shows nearly 60 miles an hour. Ferocious turn, he brings the truck to a halt on the wharf overlooking the brown waters of the Mississippi and grabs for his phone.
Shut down the timers, Miles, I'm here.
Well done, Danny. But I'm sorry to say, you seem to be a bit late to the party.
The timers reach zero. Danny feels each box in turn and makes his choice. He grabs the box, leaps out of the truck, and hurls it as far into the river as he can. Showered with spray from the explosion.
Where's the bell?
The bell signals the start of the next round.
Oh, you're finally starting to get the hang of this.
I want to speak to Molly.
How about I do you one better? How about I
show her to you? As I said, the clue
to the next round is in the box you so deftly hung on to. You put two and two together,
you might have quite the reunion.
He's on a hotel roof nearby.
Tell me you didn't kill anybody with that thing.
Danny eyes the agent, then reaches into the cab for the other box.
I need a saw.
The large circular saw makes short work of the metal strongbox.
All right, let's trade this thing and get it back to
the car. A bomb disposal team in body armor open the box as the firemen drain the excess water from their vehicle's tanks.
Clear.
With the box declared safe, Danny approaches the FBI.
I thought you guys were going to catch him.
We switched out your SIM card. We're tapped into your phone. We can track you wherever you go. Miles will call again, Danny. When he does, keep him on the line for 30 seconds. That's all we need to trace
Miles'
the call.
Miles' phone's encrypted. He can't trace it.
Funny, we're the FBI, not Mayberry PD. All we need is 30 seconds.
All teams, listen up, listen up. We have a location. It's the Hotel Monteleone. I repeat, it's the Hotel Monteleone.
I need SWAT, and I need K-9, and I need all of you there. Now!
Danny glances at the large white-painted hotel across the river as the agents all hurry away. Their cars pull up at the Monteleone, which has a carved stone facade like a grand European palace.
Down! Everybody down!
An armed squad in body armor enters the lobby.
Blue team, seal all the exits. I need snipers on the roof. Shut down all communication in and out of the building. And start with the dogs, Ray. Pull the tapes. I need to know what room this key is for.
Where's your control room?
Right this way.
Thank you.
An agent scans the door to Miles' room with a handheld X-ray.
It's clean.
They open the door and enter with their weapons raised.
Clear!
Clear! Fisher!
Danny enters, looking around anxiously. He picks up a pile of photos tied in string from the duvet. They show Molly, bound and gagged, lying on the bed.
Fisher.
Aiken holds out his hand to see the photos. Danny hands them over, grim-faced, and walks out.
Come on, where are you? He was here.
I got nothing.
Ray, get the teams ready to act.
All right.
The agents with Danny continue reviewing the hotel CCTV as Santiago hurries out.
That's it, that's Miles. Stop it, right there. What time was this?
It was like 30 minutes ago.
He's writing something down.
It's a sign. What's it say?
Miles holds up a sign to the camera.
We're still here.
Miles is grinning, pointing to the sign which Danny read out.
All the exits are locked down.
Hey, we just found Miles on camera. Stand by for location.
Yeah, hold on. He's talking to somebody. They're leading him somewhere.
Who is that?
It's Willie.
I'm gonna go find Willie. Show me everything. I need a location.
So Miles rented the SUV last week in Lafayette. Left a dummy address. Now we're tracking the ID on the security deposit boxes and known working accomplices, but so far nothing.
What are we missing? This guy doesn't plan everything and not leave a trail. All right, let's go over the prison break again.
All right. Miles and the boys take the yard.
But Miles is the only one who escapes. All right, how many of these other guys got in the cars but then wound up back in their cells?
43, but the FBI already talked to him.
Give me the warden on the phone.
You got it.
He gave Miles the access code to the security elevator. It was all the way to the basement. I'll meet you there.
Hey, sorry if I did something wrong before. This guy, he had all the right papers. Said he was here to service the air conditioner.
It's okay. You didn't know. This thing still works?
One of the oldest in the city.
Big security guard Willie activates the ancient service elevator. Electrical motors whir and the old wood-walled lift moves slowly. Willie and Danny get out in the basement.
I led him this far. Said he'd go the rest of the way on his own.
Wait. Was air conditioner ducts? They go straight to the top?
Yeah, the vent out to the roof.
Take me there.
Willie hits the button, and the lift rises. Santiago and Aiken meet up after the armed teams and their dogs have swept the basement.
Sir, we're clear. There's no sign of Miles.
So where's Bishop?
The old service lift is still going up. Sparks fly from the aging electric motor. There's an explosive device attached to it. The lift lurches to a halt.
Tell me that's normal.
Danny checks his cell phone.
No service.
What's this one?
There's supposed to be a phone there, right?
Yeah, but...
He passes Danny a small netbook computer.
Roger, I'll show her to you, Danny.
Molly's standing nervously with Miles in a hotel room.
Danny, if you're viewing this, round six has already started. I'm sure you've met your new friend, Willie. Sorry, Willie. Nothing personal. Just the wrong place at the wrong time. At the conclusion of this message, you'll have 60 seconds before the elevator free falls to the ground. With 60 seconds, limited resources, and Willie's unfortunate girth, there's only time for one of you to survive. Who lives and who dies, that is your decision.
For the lucky, the clue to round 7 is framed in the lobby. For the other, at least you'll be a lot thinner. Danny, he made me read this to you.
Is that for real, man? I can't, Dad. I gotta wipe the kids, man.
Where's the security hatch?
I got a radio. There's no time. How do I open this thing?
You gonna leave me here?
No, watch the clock.
The latch, man, up top. For the latch up there. Right,
Danny punches open the hatch.
Stay right there. I'll get you out.
Oh, shit, I can't fit through there.
All right, big man, let's go.
I can't. It's too
far. No, we gotta pull. It's your only hope. Give me your hand. Come on. Come on, let's go. Come on. Come on, you can reach it. Come on.
It's too far, man.
Come on, you can make it. Come on.
Danny tries to pull the big man through the escape hatch in the lift roof. Willie's foothold on the wall collapses, and he falls back to the floor.
Willie, come on, come on. You gotta get out, buddy. Come on. How much time?
Less than 40 seconds.
That means we need to work together. Come on, buddy. Come on.
Come on. Don't let go.
I got you, come on.
Oh, Danny! Come
on! With Danny's strength, Willie is halfway through the hatch.
Come on! Don't let go.
The countdown approaches 20 seconds as Willie rolls onto the lift roof.
Made it! Can't believe I made it! On my back! Can't move, dude.
Willie, the elevator's gonna fall. I need your hand. You gotta get on the lift.
I need you on a ledge, come on! I got it!
Willie! Danny's clinging to a window frame, but Willie, stranded on his back, can't reach his outstretched hand. The bomb on the lift motor blows. Willie and the lift plummet. Debris explodes out of the door at the bottom of the lift shaft, just in front of Agents Aiken and Santiago. Danny closes his eyes in sorrow as dust billows up the lift shaft. Gas hisses from a cracked high-pressure pipe. A SWAT team deploys. Danny strides out of the hotel.
That's affirmative. Keep them back!
He stares numbly at the throng of emergency services teams evacuating hotel guests and at a large body under a white sheet on a stretcher.
I can't, Danny. I've got a wife and kids, man.
Danny stares as Willie's body is loaded onto an ambulance.
You did everything you could.
Danny. Miles didn't give you enough time.
Hey, hold it. Hey, get me Terry. Somebody bring me Terry. Come on, set it up.
Danny watches dumbly as his phone rings and the FBI set up their tracing equipment.
30 seconds. Yeah.
Danny, you sound upset.
I did everything you asked, Miles.
You had no reason to kill him.
I didn't, Danny. You had the choice to save him. It was your round to win.
Oh, shit. Screw your choices. Screw your rounds.
Are you giving up on me? Because if you want to stop playing, I'm sure other arrangements can be made.
No.
All right, so.
As Molly said, the clue to the next
Molly
round.
Molly said nothing. I just watched the man die in there, and I don't even know if Molly's still alive.
Excuse me?
Keep him on. I need a minute to figure this out.
Well, there's nothing to figure, Danny.
Is the FBI trying to trace this call?
Let me guess. First it was your friends in the police department who realized the cell was encrypted. Then it was the FBI.
George Aiken.
And all his wonderful little toys.
Hold for position. Everybody, hold for position.
I must say, I really am touched. How you've all come together for this little affair.
Danny stares at the phone as Miles rings off.
Not enough time.
On a tram, Miles takes the SIM card out of his phone, throws it out of the window, then gets off. Danny answers his phone again.
Yeah.
So, why don't we start over again, see if it's that much fun the second time around? Or maybe...
Danny grins, and Aiken sighs in frustration, arms folded as the line goes dead again. Miles changes SIM cards once more.
Yeah.
Third time lucky?
So,
As Molly said before, the clue to the next round is framed in the lobby. A picture of a lonely man, which is how you'll end up if you don't play nice. You try and trace my call again, I am going to start cutting Molly's toes off. So, how about I call you again in 2 minutes? Would that give you ample time to grieve?
We lost the signal.
Expressionlessly, Danny closes his phone, walks across, and rounds on Aiken.
Miles says hello. This isn't working.
Before today, the feds have been up on Miles' cell phone a grand total of one time. It's working just fine.
If Danny keeps doing this, a lot more people are going to get hurt.
Aiken mimes that Santiago's talking too much. Crystal chandeliers hang in the palatial atrium of the hotel. The large gold-framed portrait of a historic dignitary hangs on the wall, and Danny examines some old black-and-white photos of the city which are on display. He picks one up and studies it. A label on the back says, North Claiborne and Toulouse. He removes the label. Replacing the picture on its display stand, he turns and shows the label to Aiken and Santiago.
Don't answer the phone.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
Listen to me for a second, all right, Danny? Willie can be the last person who...
Look, answer the goddamn phone.
Shut up!
Answer the goddamn phone!
It's Claiborne and Toulouse.
Well done, Danny. I must say, I am impressed with your detective skills, but with all the help you've been getting from the FBI, you know, it seems just a little bit unfair.
I'm playing the game, Miles. It's all that counts, right?
How very true, but... You know, it's time to see you play for yourself for a change. Be at the location in the photo in 10 minutes. You come alone, and you'll have a 50-50 chance of having the time of your life. We're more than halfway through, Danny, and I've got a little bit of a surprise for you.
Miles turns towards the back seat of the car he's a passenger in and grins. Stone-faced, Danny eyes Aiken, sticks the label on the agent's lapel and walks out. Aiken rounds on his colleague, then shoves Santiago up against a wall.
Don't be a hero, Ray. It's not in your pay grade.
Aiken releases Ray and walks off. Santiago straightens his tie. A black car pulls up by a freeway overpass and Danny gets out. Street signs read Toulouse and North Claiborne.
Danny, we got two teams, 3 blocks out. What do you see?
Some kids with a basketball are walking along a sidewalk.
I don't see anything.
He said 10 minutes, Danny.
It's been 10.
A motorbike speeds by, and Danny spots an elderly person pushing a bag on wheels.
Still got nothing.
A truck rolls by on the overpass.
Just stay in your position. We got you covered. Stay right there.
Danny answers his phone.
Tell me you got some.
Oh, Danny.
Get ready to be happy. I got a pissed off member of the Black Liberation Army is what I got. Miles had him kill a couple guards
during the prison break and then left the brother behind to take the fall.
When can you get him to talk?
Yeah, as soon as I get the judge to sign the warrant.
Give me 10 minutes.
Danny looks worried.
I'm gonna need it in 2.
You got a 50-50 chance.
It's the bus. I'm getting on.
He follows the basketball kids onto a bus which has the serial number 5050 and walks slowly up the aisle. A young guy moves aside to reveal a blonde figure.
Molly?
Stop.
Her face is a mask of fear. The FBI 4x4 is following, Aiken fiddling with his toy car and consulting a map. The bus drives on under the flyover. A row of red LEDs glows beneath Molly's sweater. She looks imploringly at Danny, who slowly unzips the cardigan. He opens the garment to reveal an explosive device strapped to Molly's body. They stare at one another. They hug each other tearfully.
Daddy, I love you.
You two lovebirds, care for a sit?
Miles sits casually nearby, grinning and holding a remote control.
I'm gonna get you out of this. Is he just talking to someone?
Just stay calm, Molly.
Molly walks back towards Miles, whose face hardens, and he pulls her down next to him. He zips the cardigan back up, and Danny takes a seat opposite them. As the bus rolls on through the sunny city, Miles gets up and sits next to Danny, pats him down, and finds a wire.
Oh, well, look at this. Surprise, surprise.
Testing.
Testing one.
Is that Miles? Does he have Miles on the phone, or is he there?
Miles is on the bus. All teams, we have a confirmation. Miles Jackson is on the bus.
Proceed with Op 2 Delta, and get me a sniper team out here now.
The black FBI SUVs speed through the suburbs.
This is it. This is his mistake.
We got SWAT ready. Why don't we just take him out now?
No, we stop that bus now. He turns us into a bloodbath. We know where he is. We're taking our shot.
Alpha 1, set up and prepare to stop the target.
Can't have you running off now, can I?
Miles handcuffs Danny to a pole.
Round 7, Danny. To win, you simply let me walk away. But if my thumb leaves the surface of this screen for any reason, and I don't put it back within 10 seconds or less, well, then you lose the round, and two things happen. First of all, a small charge explodes and fires a 3-inch nail into Molly's heart. I'm aiming for the right atrium, but we'll see what happens. 30 seconds later, after she's dead, a second larger charge will explode, and they'll be cleaning everyone up off this bus in pieces.
He smiles smugly. The FBI catch up on a road parallel to the overpass.
What can I say, Danny? I just like to play the game.
I didn't mean for Erica to die.
I don't think that matters.
Danny looks Miles straight in the eye.
That's the one I want. Set up on the 10 overpass.
SWAT team, this is Agent Santiago. Take position to the north on the interstate overpass at Perdido. Await instructions.
Here, catch.
He pretends to throw Danny the remote as Molly despairs and the other passengers glance around them.
Oh, you should see the look in your faces.
Miles, let her go. It's between you and me.
Well, I'm afraid if I let Molly go, Danny, you won't play the game. Look at those eyes. You're thinking, can I get to the phone on time? Why did Miles ask to meet me here?
Fuck you!
Very clever. I asked you here, Danny, because I wanted to see the face of a man who knows he can't win. The face of a man whose life is sitting 5 feet in front of him, yet he can't just reach out and grab her. Is there something funny?
Yeah, there is. He's gonna win, and then he's gonna kill you.
She's a feisty one, isn't she?
The FBI vehicles pull onto a slip road off the interstate, and a sniper team deploys in full body armor.
Green cover man on the west side.
Got it.
Jason, good scout.
Set up, section one.
Yes, sniper team one. TRT team in place.
What if I don't believe you?
Sorry?
What if I think that vest is for show? Pick everybody up in pieces. Miles, that bomb blows, you die too. What's keeping me from reaching over there and kicking the shit out of you?
Nothing. But I know you won't. Because you're predictable, Danny. You think I'm lying? Here, take it.
All teams, hold on my mark.
As the bus speeds on, the sniper team take aim and cock their weapons. Miles grins, offering the remote to Danny, and they stare at one another. Molly shakes her head at her husband.
So that's a 75-yard shot through a moving bus window. One sniper's got to break the glass, another one's got to get the hit. Are you sure this is how you want to do this?
Team Delta, prepare for visual. Teams Bravo and Charlie hold for extract one shot suffice.
This is Delta 1. We have confirmed subject with no clear shot.
No clear shot. Female hostages in and out of the target line.
Don't want to take it? Fine. Well, here's something that you will want. Clue to round 8.
He hands over an envelope as the snipers gaze down their telescopic sights.
Sniper Team 1, you have the green light.
I repeat, you have the green light. Take him out.
You know you're going to kill that girl.
You want to kill Miles.
On my mark.
Go.
Get down!
Danny hauls Miles and Molly to the floor as shots hit the bus and blood splashes.
Parker's not down.
Danny grimaces in pain, clutching his shoulder as the bus skids to a halt.
Officer Fisher, I didn't know you cared. Come on.
Molly!
Miles dives off the bus and into the crowds, dragging Molly with him.
What the hell happened? Hey, give me a 20 on Miles. Somebody, get me a 20 on Miles.
Negative. Lost him in the crowd.
Black FBI vehicles surround the bus.
Listen, I need you to stop everything. Get on the plane in the night. Check those explosives. 4 Block 10 needs to stop. Listen here. Ready to do this?
Danny punches Aiken in the face, then gets dragged away.
You killed her! You knew she was there and you took a shot! You listen to me, you little shit! We had him! This was over!
No!
You shoot Miles, everybody on that bus is dead!
Now you didn't know that, did you, you prick? She had a bomb on her chest!
Shoot Miles, everybody dies!
Danny walks away, leaving Aiken looking stunned.
You got a little something right there.
Santiago approaches his colleague and points towards his upper lip with a middle finger. A paramedic stitches up Danny's shoulder as Hank arrives.
You okay, Danny? You all right?
I had her in my arms, man. I told her I was going to save her and I let her go.
Well, there's nothing you could do, bro.
Molly's going to die. It's my fault.
She's not going to die, Danny. Look, you got to stop blaming yourself.
I can't. You know why? Because Miles is punishing Molly for something I did.
Danny, you're doing your job.
I don't care! Miles doesn't care. It's me and him. Not for enough.
Hey,
I was three feet away. I couldn't make a move.
Stop. Just stop it, man. You won the round. And most importantly, you bought us some time, and now I got a name.
Remember the convict you wanted to cut a deal?
Yeah.
All right, he said Miles played chess every day in the prison yard with a guy named Anthony DeLusso. Best part? DeLusso got paroled 3 weeks before the prison break, and he's in town. All right, Jance is on his way to get the address from his PO right now.
What the hell are you doing here?
Come on, I knew my boy needed me.
Wait. Here we go.
Go for Hank. Yeah. Okay, tell Phelps I'm leaving there in 10 minutes. Bingo.
You got him.
212 for Dita.
Finally getting ahead of this son of a bitch.
I told you I wasn't going to let you down.
The pair touch fists in respect.
Hank.
Yo.
Be careful.
What am I not?
Danny watches Hank leave with a worried frown.
Hey. You know you can't do this alone, all right? Listen to me, Dan. I'm not going to ask you to stop. I'm just going to ask you to let me help you, all right? We do this together, we can both get what we want.
Round 8. There's 5 numbers inside this envelope.
Let me help you.
Choose wisely, and the number you dial will win the round without further action. Choose poorly, and the number you dial will arm one of 4 devices scattered throughout the city. You now have 60 seconds. If you refuse to dial in that allotted time, all 4 will be activated, and you'll have yourself quite an adventure. Good luck.
Let's run this through the local directory.
No directory. They're devices, not locations.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. It's got to be a code then.
Okay, let's try it. Text. The text message is the first one's City Hall.
Second one is the convention center. Danny, we got less than 10 seconds and we got 3 numbers left. You gotta pick one.
Sorry, Danny, you lose. And now round 9 is gonna be so much fun. Very shortly, streetcar 907 will enter the downtown area on Canal Street. You just disarmed the brakes and the communication radio. Your task, simply stop the streetcar before it smashes through the end of the line and everything else in its path.
Danny and Ray look shocked.
Let's take that one. Come on, let's go.
Danny and Ray speed away in one of the FBI cars, spinning the tires and shooting off beneath the overpass.
Yeah, this is Special Agent Ray Santiago of the FBI. Have an emergency. Streetcar 907 has lost its brakes and is speeding toward the riverfront. Just keep following the 10. We'll intersect them at Canal.
Yeah.
No, this is not a prank phone call. My name is Special Agent Ray Santiago of the FBI. I need to talk to somebody that can help.
Danny spins the wheel, trying to avoid other cars as they cut across an intersection.
She put me on hold.
The speedometer approaches 80 miles an hour. The stricken streetcar gains speed. Passengers look puzzled, and the driver checks his controls.
Come on, pick up the phone. They're playing Barry Manilow. Pick up the phone! No, we're on our way to intercept right now. Is there anyone there that can help us make this decision?
You shut down the power. The streetcar comes to a stop.
Can't you guys just shut down the power?
miss one more turn for the cheap seats. This is not a prank phone call.
Hank stops his car opposite a building with wrought iron balconies.
Unit 23, you guys in position?
All clear along the perimeter.
We got four units waiting around the corner.
Copy that.
Let's see who's home.
The building's protected by CCTV. A guy with a crown tattooed on his hand watches monitors as one of the cops strolls past. Families enjoy the costumes and masks of a carnival. A performer pulls an endless string of silk scarves out of his mouth, and people try their strength, hitting a block with a hammer to make a shuttle shoot up and ring a bell. Up the Long Street Boulevard, some distance from the fair, the streetcar is rumbling down the hill.
Streetcar 907 to dispatch. Come in. Streetcar 907. Does anyone hear me?
How fast do you think that thing's going?
I don't know. 30 tons of metal going downhill?
40?
Probably 50.
The streetcar's gaining speed in the gathering dusk.
Will somebody please pick up the goddamn phone?
Danny wrenches the car into a turn away from the interstate through a residential area. The cops break into a room in the building with balconies. A guy climbs down the fire escape outside the room as they burst in.
Target is heading out the back door.
Do you want me to take him?
Negative.
Negative. Suspect is on the move. Let's see where he's going. Phelps and I'll follow him.
Sparks fly from the streetcar's power cable as it speeds up. As the driver tries emergency braking procedures, the passengers look increasingly anxious. Danny and Ray power slide onto the boulevard, catching up with the streetcar and causing chaos as they weave through the traffic.
Danny, unless we cut the power, that thing's not gonna stop.
I got an idea.
A passenger filming them on his video as Danny overtakes the streetcar.
Danny, what are you doing?
Danny steers the car onto the streetcar tracks and slows as the big tram looms up behind them.
Danny!
Danny slams on the brakes and the streetcar rear-ends them. Danny sweeps the red and blue flashing lights off the dashboard and unfastens his seatbelt.
Keep it straight! Keep your foot on the brake!
Ray reaches across and steps on the brake. Danny smashes the windscreen with the butt of his pistol.
Are you out of your damn mind?
Maybe.
Pushing out the windscreen, Danny climbs out and onto the roof of the car.
Danny, look out!
There are cars across the tracks ahead. Danny drops to hold onto the roof, ready for the impact, but the cars move off just in time. He stands back up, surfing the car roof.
Get back!
He kicks in the streetcar's windscreen and leans into the driver's cab.
It's out of control. I tried to brake. Help me. Harder!
Danny and the driver wrestle with the brake lever as smoke pours from the car's locked tires.
It's jammed!
Open the door. I'll try to cut the power from the roof.
Danny climbs up onto the roof of the streetcar. As the passengers look up anxiously, Danny slowly gets to his feet. He edges towards the long pole of the power pantograph and smashes the mountain with the butt of his gun. Electric shock throws him off his feet and he dangles over the side of the tram. A bus nearly crashes into the streetcar at an intersection. Cars crash at a junction in the tram's wake as Danny hauls himself back onto the roof. The guy Hank and his team are following walks casually down a street. Keeping him in sight, Hank reaches for his radio.
All units, suspect is entering the Dixie Welding Factory on
Fitzpatrick. Wait for my go.
As the target walks through the factory, Danny climbs back out of the tram onto Ray's car. He carefully walks back towards the open windscreen as Ray grits his teeth, keeping the brake pressed to the floor.
Didn't work.
Look out, look out, look out, look out!
accelerate away from the streetcar, it sideswipes a pickup, hurling the truck and debris across the road. The tram driver grimaces. Danny and Ray speed away. Hank and his guys run into the welding factory, following their suspect who has gone upstairs. The streetcar continues to hurtle towards the fair. Danny's grim faced at the wheel of the car.
What now?
Take out the power!
You are out of your damn mind!
You ever jump out of a moving car before?
Not my choice!
They dive out, rolling on the tarmac as the car plows through a fence into an electricity substation. The substation explodes in spectacular bursts of sparks like fireworks, and lights go out all over the area. The streetcar starts to slow.
Still going too fast!
Get down! Move!
Get out of the way!
Out of the way! Move!
Get out
move!
Get out of the way!
The carnival goers flee in panic. The streetcar smashes through a barrier across the tracks. The passengers are thrown around and people at the carnival leap out of the way. Someone is filming the whole thing. The streetcar comes to a halt, turning over one last van.
Everybody all right?
The passengers look stunned as Danny and Ray run towards the tram.
You guys all right?
Is everybody okay?
You okay, man?
At the welding factory, Hank and his team move slowly, weapons drawn. Their suspect walks down a grimy corridor, round a corner, and gets on the phone.
Yeah?
We're here.
I'm getting the truck now.
The shadow of Hank's gun appears on the wall as the man moves off.
Is she okay?
Yeah.
We gotta start taking the bus.
No, that'd be great. That's a great idea. Why don't you guys go ahead and do that? Thank you.
Ray looks pointedly at Danny.
They're gonna shut off the power.
Danny chuckles in disbelief. Hank and his partner move up another flight of stairs.
It's getting a little too easy, Miles. What, are you getting soft on me? How about you give me something that's gonna be a challenge, huh?
You sound pretty pleased with yourself, Danny. Why, because you stopped the trolley? Or because you went ahead with your own round? Very admirable. Okay, welding factory, second floor hallway. If round 10 is your best friend taking Anthony DeLusso, then round 11 is me taking your best friend.
Danny stares at the phone. In the factory, Hank enters a room with maps and photos on the walls, including of the hotel and the ferry.
Hank, pick up. Come on. Let's go on voicemail. Let's go on a voicemail.
You are persistent.
Hank closes his eyes in disbelief.
You honestly didn't think a man like Miles wouldn't have a plan for something like this.
The LED on a remote flicks from green to red, and an anti-personnel line nearby arms itself.
Well, whatever the plan is, apparently you're not part of it.
The mine jumps up to chest height and explodes, blowing gouts of flame out of the windows of the factory.
I don't have anything, man. I got somebody on the phone. I'm trying to get you a straight answer, but nobody's got anything for me.
How can you not get a straight answer? I told you. Miles knew about it. He knew about everything. He knew about Hank. He knew about DeLusso. He was at the warehouse.
I hear what you're saying.
It's been a half hour, man.
Danny,
something,
I know.
Anything.
Dad.
There was an explosion at the factory. The firefighters on the scene now, but Hank was inside. There's no way he could have made it.
Danny stares blankly at Aiken.
I'm sorry.
Ray looks mortified. Danny shakes his head, throws up a hand in disgust and walks off.
Danny, wait. Danny, wait. Get off of me! Hey.
Danny clenches a fist.
Okay, look. 3 years ago, Miles stole 3 Stingers from a U.S. military shipment in Iraq. We tracked him to Pakistan, but the day the deal went down, I lost Miles and I lost the guns. 2 days later, one of those Stingers shot down a 747 out of his mama bag. This was the only thing I could find intact in the rubble.
He shows Danny the yellow toy car.
What I'm saying is I made a mistake here. I forgot why I carry this. This isn't about Miles. This is about the people he's hurt and the ones he's gonna hurt.
Looking at the car, Danny remembers in a flash the photos and images of Molly, tied up and with a bomb strapped to her.
Guys, I'm never gonna see her again.
Don't say that.
Look, yes, you are. We got one round left. Now, and I know Miles better than any person alive. Let me help you.
Danny looks at the FBI agents and thinks. He answers his cell.
Just about ready for our grand finale.
It is round 12, and this time we won't be going to the judges' scorecards. In 17 minutes, it will be exactly 1 year since Erica's death, and I have to ask, will Molly suffer a similar fate?
Miles, you don't have to do this.
Too late.
You know, you've done well to survive this long. Now, all you have to do is find her.
She has a touch phone strapped to her chest, along with some other more explosive items.
Except this time, only your thumbprint, only your touch can stop the timer.
Tell me where she is.
Are you sorry for what you've done?
Yes, Miles. I'm sorry.
Then perhaps maybe you should
pay her a visit. Tell her so yourself. It's been fun, Danny, but game over.
Pay Erica a visit?
It's the cemetery. Where is she buried? Where is she buried?
The three pile into a car.
I need you to pull the cemetery records of all Orleans parish. Last name Kessen, K-E-S-S-E-N. First name Erica, that's with a C.
This is Ray Santiago of the FBI. I need a police escort. We are Canal and Royal heading out of the CBD.
Metairie Cemetery.
Yeah, you tell whoever gets there don't touch anything. I'm the only one that can defuse that bomb.
We know, Danny.
Fire trucks join the convoy, and police motorcycles speed through the nighttime city.
Anybody on the scene yet?
They're arriving now, but remember, this is Miles. The cemetery might just be the first step.
Bullshit! Why have I been doing this shit all day?
Danny,
you wanted to kill us, you should have just done it when you had a chance.
Danny, you're bold.
At the wheel, Danny answers the call.
Yeah.
Danny, Chuck Jansen.
Listen, two things Hank had me working on, they're not making any sense.
I ran a trace on all five numbers from earlier. They were all connected to the device under the streetcar. All five numbers.
Not only that, Miles had remote cameras in the elevator shaft. We pulled the tapes. He blew the device early, Danny. You still had 5 seconds to save Willie.
Like I said, it was the last thing Hank had me working on, but...
Danny hangs up.
Danny, why are we stopping?
Willie was always gonna die.
What are you talking about?
Miles, had security cameras in the elevator, saw I was gonna save him and blew the charge early. And all those numbers, all five of them, were connected to the same streetcar. You already told me once, George. I arrested this guy. I don't even know him. This is your guy. What am I missing? Joshua.
Every time he plays, what does Miles want?
He wants to win. Miles wants to be the guy that nobody can beat.
No, the deal with Samuel and Joshua, I mean, he went through a lot of trouble to get some revenge. But what else did we find in the car?
Diamonds.
He steals from the U.S. military. He sells it for a profit.
He's had Molly for over 3.5 hours. Not once has he mentioned ransom.
This isn't about revenge.
It is about the money.
Hey, give me all the information we got on the security guard from the hotel.
Elsewhere, Miles, in uniform, swipes the pass card of William Jumaine through a reader, entering the building of Homewood Security.
Willie Jumaine has a second job as a Homewood security guard.
Hi, Tom Baxter. Office called, said Willie Jumaine's a no-show and picking up his shift. Thank you.
This guy said it's running all day. For 1 second, we just gotta stop and think. Today. What did I actually do?
Whoa, does this even matter? I mean, you're still the only one who could deactivate that bomb.
He took my house, he took Molly.
Well, that's what he did to get you to play. What else happened at the hotel?
Danny thinks back to the plummeting lift and the breaking pipe.
Blew the gas lines. They evacuated three city blocks.
Three city blocks?
Three city blocks.
Give me a list of those buildings.
As the fire trucks arrive, Miles parks a security van next to a building flying the stars and stripes. He gets out and looks around, noting the security tape sealing off the area.
Any one of those numbers, anyone would have gone back to that very streetcar. I had to stop the streetcar.
No. You had to cut the power.
After Katrina, when the power's out all over the city, Homewood Security comes in to move all the unprotected cash.
Wait a second. What was that last one?
Holy shit! One of the buildings that we evacuated is a temporary holding facility for the Bureau of Engraving and Printing. That's the goddamn Mint.
A Mint security officer escorts Miles and another Homewood guard through the building. Miles grins as they approach the steel gate to a vault.
Glad y'all got here. Our backup generator's gonna run out at midnight.
A guard spins the handle to open the huge steel door to the vault.
Fed's been pulling all the old hundreds and fifties out of circulation. It's the entire southeast allotment. Total's just over
$100 million.
Hey, Ray, you go with SWAT to the Mint and you shut everything down. All cars, all pedestrians, you stop it and you lock it in the quarter. Hey, we got 8 minutes to get you to the cemetery.
What you want, Miles?
Not till we get Molly.
Danny stares at Aiken, then gets into the car with him and they speed off with Danny at the wheel.
Thanks. Thank me when it's over.
Miles is pushing a trolley full of packets of banknotes out of the vault. The other security guards are dead. He pushes the trolley down a long, starkly lit corridor. He pulls out a grating, breaks open the packets of notes and pours them into the concrete space. He then turns the handle on a water pipe, flooding the concrete cache full of notes, and climbs up a metal ladder out of the basement area.
Tell me something. Miles knows we're shutting down the city. How's he getting the money out?
Only emergency vehicles are leaving the quarter. Miles isn't getting anywhere.
Fire truck for this one.
Hey, what are you doing? Molly's at the cemetery.
Nope. An asshole even told me to wear the hat and use a siren.
As Aiken stares at Danny, Miles bursts up out of a grating in the road outside the Mint building. He looks around at the Monteleone Hotel nearby and grins. He walks down an alley towards a fire truck and lifts a manhole cover in front of the vehicle. He feeds the fire hose into the manhole. Molly's still bound and gagged, lying shaking in the back of the fire engine. Danny remembers smashing through a car in the fire truck as Miles switches on the pressure to the hose.
Everything I did today had a purpose. From the time Molly walked out the door, there isn't a thing I did today that Miles didn't plan. He makes sure I wreck the fire truck so he could steal it. He threatens my brother so I'm not thinking straight. He shows me Molly to keep me in the game. It's obvious. If she's still alive, Molly's to stick it out.
Aiken nods in agreement.
I need to speak with hospital security.
Molly lies uncomfortably in the fire engine as Miles drives, lights flashing.
Wake up, baby, we're here!
Miles sets off a car bomb as he speeds up to the university hospital, then drives down a ramp into the building. Miles gets out of the cab of the fire truck, walks back, opens the crew compartment where Molly is lying, and presses a pistol to her chest.
Almost finished. You do like I say, we will both live happily ever after.
He grins as he rips the tape from her mouth, and she spits at him.
Now, where are those body bags?
Molly helps Miles push a body bag on a trolley down a hospital corridor. Water dribbles steadily from the bag. Miles has a hand on an automatic concealed beneath his jacket. He hits the button to call a lift. Ignored by busy hospital staff, they quietly enter the lift with the trolley. Miles has Molly's security pass, which he swipes. The FBI and emergency squad speed through the night, Danny going straight through a red light. Security guards with their guns drawn are waiting as the lift doors open. It seems empty. Miles leans out and shoots both men. Molly covers her mouth in horror. Miles drags the trolley out onto the roof where there's a helicopter.
Cordon off University Hospital. Let nobody in or out.
Miles stuffs the body bag into a storage compartment in the chopper and locks it. Then he grabs Molly and frog marches her up to the cockpit.
Think you can fly us to Tahiti in this thing, yeah?
Get in.
As she climbs into the pilot seat, Aiken fiddles nervously with the toy car.
They're here.
They drive past the burning car, and Danny looks up towards the helipad.
It's taking off.
Eagle One, is that you up there? You have not been authorized for takeoff.
Eagle One, requesting a take.
Fly!
Miles switches off the radio, and Molly prepares for takeoff. Miles looks down from the chopper and sees Danny's group running into the main hospital entrance below.
You're not stalling on me, darling, are you?
If you're gonna fly this thing, you go ahead.
Yeah, well, how about you teach me?
He points the gun at her face and smiles. Aiken runs onto the roof just ahead of Danny. Miles' first shot hits Aiken, and he falls. Danny checks on the wounded agent as the chopper rises.
Take us up! Take us up!
You all right?
No! Make a good decision!
As Molly hovers and Danny sprints towards the helipad, she reaches down beside her, pulls out a fire extinguisher, and smashes it into Miles' midriff. She hovers next to the edge of the building as Danny sprints over.
You're gonna be fun to kill!
With a flying leap, Danny grabs onto the chopper's landing skid and fights to haul himself up. Miles takes off his headset and heads for the main side door as Danny clambers up onto the skid.
Danny, he's got a gun!
Danny shoves Miles' arm so the shot goes in the air. The door slides open and they struggle high above the ground. Shots hit the engine casing. Miles kicks Danny savagely, but Danny grabs his wrist and the gun skids across the cockpit.
I need to find a place to put her down.
Can you make it back to the hospital?
Negative. I need a stabilized flight controls or else we are going down.
Gun, Danny! He's going for the gun!
Danny fires just as Miles throws a stretcher out of the door at him. They trade blows, then Danny bashes Miles' head against a bulkhead.
Tell me you can still end this thing!
We busted the hydraulics. We're going down, Danny. Damn it! Danny!
Miles attacks Danny from behind and gets a rubber tube around his throat. Danny's vision blurs as the helicopter loses height. Danny slams Miles against a window, but Miles stabs him with a scalpel.
Danny! Danny, talk to me!
Miles grabs the paddles of the defibrillator and holds them to Danny's chest. Danny falls, hanging out of the chopper's door.
Knockout, Danny! This time you're not going to get saved by the bell!
Hold on, Danny!
Molly pulls up the chopper's nose. Danny leaps up, throws Miles, and lets fly with his huge fists.
Danny, we're out of time! I can't control it anymore!
You lose!
Danny, strap in, we're going down!
Officer Fisher! One last move! Remember the vest from the bus? Knockout!
He throws the remote out of the door.
No!
Oh, my God. Oh, my God! Get in the seat! I can still put her down. Danny, strap in.
Not in time.
Yes, I can. What are you doing?
Come on, take it out of here.
No! No, what do you do? No, no!
Do you trust me?
Yes.
Come on.
They head for the door as the bomb counts down.
You landed! Bitch!
She kicks Miles in the face. Aiken watches as the chopper spins out of control. There's a swimming pool on a roof far below. Molly and Danny glance at one another, hold on, then jump. Aiken grins as they land in the water. The countdown reaches zero. Miles and the helicopter become a fireball as Molly and Danny reach the surface. Aiken sobs in pain and relief watching the explosion and holding the toy car. As he throws the car to one side, banknotes, some on fire, rain down on Danny and Molly.
I never doubted you.
That makes one of us.
In the pool full of money, they kiss passionately.
What hurts?
Everything.
Molly helps Danny down the steps from the rooftop pool. She smiles as he grimaces in pain. An astonished couple, romancing in a hot tub, glare at them.
Helicopter explosions. No big deal.
Let's get you home.
Danny considers his response.
About the house.
She grins at him,